Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, John is still out. He will come back tomorrow. I am Lance Zierlein. Joining me today is I got my old buddy Dell back. Dell's back in there minimizing Longhorn wins,
we're not
as
buddies,
always. Probably. And Chris Solis is in the building once again. It's been a while since you've been in the building.
It has been.
You remembered how to get here?
I did. I went second floor.
Second floor, even. That's the pro floor.
I let some stranger in with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we do it. Some guy just needs to get in the building. You just let him in, Dell. That's how it is.
Well, that's what I did for you the first
time. It was the same stranger that has your key card now.
You got your key card back, though?
I've got Esme still. If no one gets me a key card, then there's nothing I can do. I lost my key card in week one.
It's out of your hands.
Yeah. See that move, Dell? When you're at a casino, and especially with crap table, they just do the hands. Do you ever gamble, Dell? You never talk about
I don't
about
gamble,
that.
But I know that move because John has said enough things that I need to back away from the mic. I know that move.
Yeah, it's... It is. That's the move where it's no longer. It's not on me. It's also known as Copland on Copland, where it's like
that is better with like a bologna sandwich,
yeah,
or ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich. It's all, what do you say? Not. It's out of my control. It's,
yeah, nothing I can do. My hands are tied.
My hands are tied here, Dell. I don't have a key card. But Esme gave me hers. And she doesn't need it to get in the building. She works the front. And I told her, week one, I lost my key card. She didn't want to believe me.
Well, you're a funny man. She thought you were just making jokes because you lost it.
Here we are 3 weeks later.
2 days within getting here. So
I hope
she thought,
it stays funny that I have your key card.
They told me Lance was funny. This is a bit he's doing.
It's not a bit.
It's recurring, evidently.
Yeah, it's a recurring character called Loose Things because I'm pretty good at that. I am pretty good. Jose Altuve is pretty good at things, and that is your AP Athlete of the Year. That's a big deal. I had to go read the article to make sure it was what I thought it was, which is not like a Houston, because it's in my Houston category on ESPN where I get my Everton stuff, and I get Astros, and I get Rockets, and Texans.
Your favorites.
My favorites.
How does Everton fit in?
Yeah, I know.
My favorite. They're my favorites.
Oh, your favorite.
Yeah, I'm
so
an Everton
you like
man.
A middling...
Since I left, Dell, yeah, I like a middling football team.
You like a middling English football team?
Yes. They're the exact same as the Texans. When I first started following them 4 years ago.
Are they 4-12 or 5-11?
They were in relegation zone, and now they're mid-table.
Everton's pretty much been the Bengals the last 4 or 5 years when they were making the playoffs but didn't do anything else. That's what they've been.
Yeah, they've been that, but they were in relegation mode, similar to Texans. But now they're basically 8-8, 9-7. Okay? They're number 9 out of a 20 teams. That's not the Texans. Last year they finished.
Do they have a surly, standoffish head coach?
Well, he did until he got sacked, as the English say. He got sacked this year.
Did they minimize?
He got 1.5. He got 2 years and he was done.
Did they minimize their most important coach because of some young up and comer they really liked? And that young up and comer is worse than the coach they had before?
No. They did that with Ross Barkley, one of the players.
Oh, they minimized
him. Yeah, they minimized one of the players. So I don't even know how that. Like in soccer, Ross isn't even playing. I think he's technically on a team. They won't let him go anywhere else. Soccer's crazy. You got to pay, we're going to give you $60 million just so we can have the rights to this guy's contract. You just buy players. There's no trades. I guess they trade, but you just buy
Not
players.
Really. They pay a fee to negotiate, in the, yeah. although the players already agreed to come
Who's
there.
Who's your team, Dell? Somebody super good?
No, my team Man, is a second division team, Fulham. I picked them
Fulham
because they used to have a lot of Americans. Not a lot, but they had a
so did
the occasional
Everton
American.
Was known as an American.
Yeah, they had
team.
Landon Donovan for a little bit.
And they had Tim Howard.
Fulham had Clint Dempsey. They had Eddie Johnson. They've had goalkeepers there. So
they were terrible.
They're second division. They got relegated.
They were not even a middling team. They had one run where they made a Europa Cup final, which is like the second type of championship for all of Europe.
It's the NIT, pretty much.
Yeah, and with Clint Dempsey on the roster, but yeah, pretty much they've been terrible since.
So if you tell me a team, an English Premier League team, has a bunch of Americans, I like to call that relegation.
Well,
yeah, fade.
They were okay until they got rid of Dempsey left. Then they got really bad.
So. That's when the Sounders really took it to the next level.
Oh. Yeah.
That's when Sounder ball
Timbers
started jumping
and
off.
Sounders.
Oh, Timber and Sounders? When the Pacific Northwest clashes, there could be riots in the streets. And I've been in Seattle one time during a Sounders game. I was there for like one day. And people are marching down the street. I'm like, this is insane. Is this really a big thing here? Which is great. It's just going to be too hot for that to ever be a huge thing in Houston.
Yeah. Sorry about your basketball team getting swiped by OKC.
Oh,
you can have the soccer team.
And now they act like, this is it. This is the same as the Sonics. Well, is it, though?
Oh, they get great crowds. We'll give
no,
them
they
that.
Get phenomenal crowds. They're 20K every game. I don't know that it was a great crowd. You weren't there at the Longhorns game yesterday. I'm going to get back to Jose Altuve just a little bit, but you weren't at the game yesterday. I had a press pass. I was accredited to the NFL.
8 o'clock kickoffs this in the morning.
That was a fade because I'm like, wait a minute. 8 o'clock kickoff. College football, you immediately say there's a chance it goes 4 hours. You have to say
a chance.
Is it a lot?
It's going to knock on 4 hours every time.
Are bowl games longer?
I don't know if halftimes are longer. I don't know.
But they do pump in more commercials, I'd imagine.
I feel like there are more commercials. I feel like Dell, there's a certain amount of commercials for our show that you know the maximum. And then this week we'll have less because it's, you know, during Christmas
time.
That's
not what I was told. I was told this is a big time for ads. So
it doesn't appear that. Dell, can you give me a rundown of my live spots today?
You've got one. Oh. But I was told. There's a lot. This is a great ad time, so that's why we all need to.
Well, you were told. Maybe you were told incorrectly.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't have lives, so I just assume what I'm being told is the correct thing.
Yeah, well, maybe. But I know that there's a regular amount of when it's on. Fox Sports Southwest or whatever the channels are now. Root Sports or whatever a Big 12, whatever a middling West Virginia versus Iowa State game is typically on, they'll have X amount of commercials. Let's just say, 40 minutes of commercials. In a bowl game, I would think it turns into like 55.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Solid hour.
Because I can tell you this, my wife got home at 12:48 with my son. She went to the game.
I put a midnight on it. I think the game ended about 11:35.
It was a typical, Texas
solid 3.5 hours.
Texas will run it some, and it wasn't a high flying game. It wasn't a high flying game because Missouri's first time play caller, Joe John Finley or whatever his name is, he just handed off a lot.
No, they didn't like that field position they were dealt early in the game.
No, I know that I usually do the NFL draft stuff. Can you give me a draft rundown on who the highest rated prospect for the Longhorns is this year?
What's that? I mean, Tom Herman couldn't remember his name in the press conference, but I think his name is Michael Dixon, the punter.
That punter.
That's not true. But he might be the best player on the team.
He is the best player on the team.
No, he is. Who gets drafted higher, Deshaun Elliott, the safety, or Michael Dixon, the punter?
I got to go Elliott, but you're telling me different. The
last time we saw Elliott, he misplayed and fell down. Yes. Against Texas Tech,
it was literally the whole game he was falling down. He was terrible in that game. It was a bunch of number fours chasing guys and on the ground.
That's called the trail position.
Yeah, but he's a safety. You don't want to be in trail position as a safety. As a corner, that's a technique. As a safety, that's called getting beat. And I don't know. I'm just going to make Texas punter. I'm going to make it minus 120 either way. Punter versus
what safety. Round?
They both came out early. When a punter comes out early, what the advisory that's committee tell them, like,
baller.
You need to come out. You're never going to get drafted higher than this punter. I mean, I'm gonna put the over on. I think Michael Dixon goes Texas punter.
Fourth round.
By the way, I think he's fourth round. And we've seen second round, BJ Sam. Now, that's dumb. We've seen the Raiders do dumb stuff.
Yeah, Leckler,
like that.
Once upon a time, I think, went third round.
Yeah, and then you had a first round, obviously, with Sebastian Janikowski. I think Dixon, the Texas punter. How many punts inside the 10 did he have yesterday? At one point, I think it was 7.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Maybe 8.
It was insane. He was doing whatever he wanted, and Missouri just kept handing it off.
Dixon's gonna go put the Texas Bowl tape on. I rest my case.
He goes, all these guys talking about upping the draft value in the bowl game. What? Look at me. He had eight of.
I'm going to use this next time I'm on TV or a podcast or anything. I'm going to say, they're going to say, Lance, what are your thoughts? Does it hurt guys' draft stock whenever you see them sit out in ball games? I'm going to say, you know, you look at guys who, yes, I understand that Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey had dealt with injuries, but I don't know why Malik Jefferson sat out or Connor Williams sat out. You got to put it on tape. Look at Michael Dixon. Texas punter declared early, and he went out there and he put some amazing punts on tape, and now I think he upped his draft stock by at least a round for a punter.
Eight punts inside the 10 or at the 10 last night. 10 of 11 punts inside the 20.
I feel like that's a college record.
It feels like. Which speaks to, was Texas simply just stalling at the 50-yard line over and over and over again for a guy to get that many punts?
Oh, no. They were stalling at like the 36. They weren't even messing with 53-yard field goals. It was just punt.
Yeah, they were just
punt.
Hammer them down there.
And Missouri, literally, with their high-flying quarterback, they were just nothing but wide receiver screens and inside handoffs the entire first half. It was astonishing. They wouldn't even give him a shot. Texas had a corner and a safety and a linebacker who didn't even play. They didn't even play, and Missouri wouldn't even take shots against him. minus three. You can see my... Some people in this room are happy. Some people are not.
I'm happy.
I wasn't as happy, Dale. I wasn't happy with that.
Why? You're not a huge Texas fan? You're a Missouri fan or something?
I just was interested in Drew Locke's ability to push the ball down the field.
Well, Tom Herman, 11-1 against the spread as an underdog.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Why are people acting like Tom Herman didn't do a good job this year? That sounds like an amazing job.
What sounds like?
11-1 against the number as a dog. Wait, he was a dog?
No, it was
that many times?
As a U of H coach as
career.
Well.
Yeah.
Why people are wondering? Is that a real question?
He overperforms.
Well, Todd Orlando doesn't hurt.
Yeah, Todd Orlando overperforms.
Todd Orlando.
Watching that
hurt.
Offense time after time is a little depressing.
Oh, those quarterbacks look good.
You look at Texas, they have. So Connor Williams did not play very well this year. Malik Jefferson got better. The
revolving door at quarterback is never going to play.
I don't know why
well.
They don't just lock in on Sam Ehlinger. Is it Ehlinger or Ehlinger?
Ehlinger.
Just take their hits with his dumb plays that cost them games, because he will make a few. At least he's Longhorn Bucky. You know, he's Longhorn Bucky Richardson. At least he'll go and be a gamer and make some plays until you find a regular quarterback.
Until he gets concussed.
They've had like 7 running backs. I don't even know who, like, they're on running back, I think, number 7. And did you see Chris Warren? It said transferred on
the
TV.
Yeah, he's out.
It said running back / tight end. Oh, when did the tight end thing, when did that happen?
Just threw that on there.
About the same time he decided to transfer. Hey, we want to make you a tight, I'm out.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Either that or he tried to transfer. He's like, I want to be a running back. Like, how much do you weigh again? 255.
Oh, no. Here you go.
Here's
a different set of shoulder pads for you.
I texted Tom Herman about him, like, hey, do I need to look at Chris Warren for my summer, my summer tape series? Because I'm looking at top 10 running backs to watch. And luckily, Chris Warren made my list of top 10 running backs to watch. And I'm pretty proud of that. He's like, yeah. He's a 6'2", 255. I'm like, ooh, is that a little big? 255? I mean, I don't think there's a long list of 255-pound running backs.
Upright running style?
With upright running backs that don't have a lot of burst. We're 255, and he's not really a physical runner either, by the way. He's kind of a finesse 255.
Must be the top-end speed.
Oh.
Well, no.
No, they'll bounce off of him in space. Like, if he gets running, you know, he is 255. I mean, he'll bounce off.
So what would your evaluation be? Big, slow-footed dancer in the hole?
Struggles,
good.
Indecisive.
All the qualities you look for.
Struggles to make people miss. Doesn't have burst. I mean, yeah, top 10 running back to watch. Duh. How did I not hit that one out of the ballpark? All right, so, the Longhorns won yesterday. We'll get a little bit more into that game. Chris Solis is in studio. Dell is back on the show. Jose Altuve is your AP Athlete of the Year, and he's a little guy. One of the greatest little guys of all time. We'll delve into the topic of little people in sports and maybe non-sports when we come back right here on the bench.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, it's 7:18. Here, coming up pretty quickly, this will be a short segment, is Jeremy Botter. To talk about, there's a big fight. I can't believe this, but I am going to. I never thought I would be this guy necessarily, and I've never had any problem with women in MMA. I've watched Cyborg forever and Gina Carano, and I wanted to see those two fight. And Misha Tate, I swear on Strikeforce and Dana White, we will never have girls fighting in the UFC, and then like, we will have girls fighting in the UFC because we've got Ronda Rousey, and so there's all that excitement, and then Ronda got exposed, and Holly kicked her face off, and Cyborg and all the MMA fans are like waiting for Cyborg to roll in. Now, is she going to test clean? I mean, she is for now. She'll have to vacate at some point, I'm sure. But Holly Holm, the face kicker, and Chris Cyborg, two of the best strikers out there, are going to fight on a pay-per-view card, and I'm probably going to get it because I want to see them scrap. Now, it's a pretty good card. So we'll visit with Jeremy Botter from Bleacher Report, senior writer for Bleacher Report and CNN about that, and also GSP, George St. Pierre, who beat Michael Bisping at the age of 36. He had taken 4 years off and just came back and won. No big deal. And then vacated his title, and now Dana White's all pissed off at him. So we'll get into that with him. Adam Kaplan talking NFL at 8 o'clock, and then Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans is at 9 o'clock. So we have a pretty good show. So AP Athlete of the Year is Jose Altuve. Little guy. I had to read and make sure that this was like for the entire nation. He didn't win some Houston award where he beat J.J. Watt out, which is usually kind of how the Houston awards work.
That's tough sledding to beat J.J. Watt out.
In anything. J.J. is, because J.J. raised, J.J. raised $37 million this year. I don't know if you're aware of that.
How many sacks did he have?
How many sacks of groceries did he give out?
Not what I said. I said
how many
quarterback pressure, since you're trying to skew the point.
I think it was a low number. I don't have my Pro Football Focus here, so I'm not sure what his grades were, what his quarterback pressures were. I think it was low, maybe zero.
What did JJ do for social injustice? Dell, do you know?
He raised $37 million?
Nothing. JJ is that is not
yes,
his
he
lane.
Did.
That's
he,
not his lane.
Yes, he did. He brought the city together.
What?
Yeah, he brought the city together and he wore shoes that said equality. One was white, one was black.
No, that's what LeBron did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, different guys.
I was getting mixed up.
Mm. That's weird that you do that. JJ, that's not his lane. He is not putting a foot in there.
No.
He's not dipping his toe in that?
No, there's no chance.
No, he's going to play it right down there. He's going to take a 5 foot out, and he's just going to, take a little something off the driver and hit it right down the pipe.
I don't even think he's playing it right down the middle. I think he might even side with, hey, I love the police. That's what he does.
He's laying up on a par five.
No, he's
you but can't he's, like the yeah, he is.
But he's never gonna just he's not gonna be like he's not gonna go right down the middle. He's gonna be clear on one side. JJ is a Blue Lives Matter guy.
Yeah, I think he's always going to be careful not to
offend anybody. He's not going to upset anyone.
He doesn't want to upset anyone.
He's much like Jordan. Everyone buys. Everyone loves shoes. Everyone buys my stuff. I'm not pissing anyone off.
Yeah.
Jordan and Tiger were.
Yeah, Tiger's Jordan and not Tiger taking knew that
they were like, man, I'm trying to make as much as I. Tiger didn't take any knees.
I ain't black either.
Yeah, Tiger hit you with that.
He's like, you know what? That OJ guy had it right.
I thought my mom. I'm sorry, my mom was Asian. I am Kablan Asian.
Tiger, you've met a lot of famous people. What's the biggest thing anyone's ever told you that's famous? You know, remember when OJ said, "I'm not black, I'm OJ." I'm right there with him. I'm not black. I'm Tiger.
Lockstep with OJ.
I'm not black. I'm Tiger.
You know who it is.
So as I was saying, Jose Altuve. So Jose Altuve was the AP Athlete of the Year. Beat a lot of great athletes. LeBron. We know the names nationally. And our guy right here, little old Jose, 3 batting titles in 4 years, wins the award. Now, is he the smallest athlete to win the award of all time? I don't know. Smallest male athlete to ever win the award? I don't know. He might be. I mean, maybe Pat
Five
Day.
5'6"?
Pat Day, if there's a jockey. There's a chance
Willie
a jockey.
Willie Shoemaker?
Yeah, like back in the 70s, a jockey. Whoever rode Seattle Slough or whoever rode, you know,
Steve
the Triple
Coughlin.
Crown. Yeah, you might have had a jockey win it 1 year. That's back when jockeys could win awards like that.
But
now no one.
Altuve doesn't talk like a jockey.
Well,
Have jockey voice?
Here, do you remember this? I'm pretty good. Remember that commercial where he goes, I'm pretty good. He's got a little bit of jockey voice. It depends on where the jockey's from. If the jockey's from Venezuela, he does have a jockey voice a little bit. A little bit. Who else? Who are just all-time great little people, period?
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, Dinklage is
Lannister. Lannister, yeah.
Yeah, right now, Dinklage has to be at the top.
Yeah, he's the Alabama of...
We're not even talking little, like
this is,
technically.
This is a tough topic.
This is just 5'6 or under. I'm only talking 5'6 or under. I'll say Jose Altuve is the Alabama.
Little people is the only thing we can use here. We can't go into.
Can you say little guys?
Oh, you want to exclude women?
No. Well, yeah, no,
I'm
I
just
am.
Saying we can't
I am
go
for
in.
Sure.
Dwarf is
because
okay.
I'm making 5'6. Yeah,
I'm just saying. I'm just getting what words out are.
You can't say midget.
Well, you
that's I don't.
What
I'm
about
just,
midge? Because I've heard
no,
that
you
here.
Can't say you can't. That's
if
feels
short,
like a slur.
If you shorten the word, is it okay?
No, don't do what John does. You said I've heard the word here. That means John
I have
said
heard it here. Yeah,
what John says you can't. Do
I don't
tell.
Know, man.
HR just doesn't even mess with him anymore.
Just had enough.
You can't say midge. I mean, I don't think
I don't.
I've heard him say it too.
I've never called anyone that because I don't think you can. Peter Dinklage is at the top of the list for me.
Ahead of Altuve?
Yeah, the guy's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean...
Altuve is just a
but he's
baseball
not actually
player.
What if Altuve
at the Battle
had one
of Blackwater?
Those,
he's not actually
pins,
doing that.
Like Dinklage had, Lannister had, you know, that he was in charge of the army.
Oh, the hand.
Yeah,
raise
the
hand.
That'd be tight if Altuve came out with
yeah,
one of those.
Yeah, but he's on the... that would be sweet if he had a hand of the crown. But who's then the... If he's the hand, then who is the... Like, is it... It's not Correa. He's actually on the throne right now.
Yeah,
Correa. He's on the Iron Throne. Altuve's
on
the Iron Throne.
Well, Springer's the MVP of the World Series.
So he's hand of the MVP?
Does that put him on the
throne? But he's MVP of the league.
That's true.
I don't think he's hand, but it would be something else if he came out with a hand. I don't think he would consider a huge, like, if the Astros ask him,
no.
Hey, listen, guys, we're going to do a photo shoot. Yeah. It's going to be kind of a Game of Thrones thing.
We're gonna put
here's what we're thinking.
We're gonna put a scar across your face. Is that cool?
We need you to get in hair and makeup. We're gonna do a scar. We're gonna make your hand.
Here's a goblet.
And you're Tyrion Lannister. Something tells me he's gonna feel disrespected in that role.
We're gonna give you a backstory where you love whores and you might have killed your dad.
You might have,
is that okay?
You did kill your dad.
You did kill your
you
dad.
You love whores and you are a drunk.
Yeah.
Does all this sound good? Okay, that's who you are. He's like, I'm the MVP.
And you know you have
I know, but
Jose,
you're the Alabama of little people.
Jose, I don't know what your nickname is, but we're gonna call you the imp. Okay? That's the nickname we're gonna call.
I think
you.
That's one of those bad words.
Yeah, Dale, I don't think you're allowed to do that. That's not okay.
Well, unless you heard it from John.
No, I heard it from my favorite show of all time. So I'm gonna use the word.
Unless you heard it from John. So yeah, I would say.
What about Gary Coleman? Is he high on the list?
Just actually changed the game.
He was a game changer.
He was a game changer. It was like when the 3-point line came out in the NBA, it like completely changed the game. No one wanted to shoot it. No one ever shot threes back then.
The Pistol Pete of little people.
Yeah, he wasn't super.
You couldn't even describe his game.
Yeah, because he wasn't super talented, but he popped off the screen at you. Yeah,
if he's a Pistol Pete,
his catchphrase was the behind the back dribbles and
is
stuff.
Is Webster Jason Williams white chocolate? Like he's kind of like Pistol Pete, but he's not as good.
No, that's not bad at all.
No real jumper.
No.
No real catchphrase.
No.
Like, he's just like knockoff. GC had.
Or me and Chris talked about this yesterday. Maybe one of those guys is Muggsy Bogues and the other one's Spud Webb.
Ooh.
Because, frankly, Muggsy was a much better player. Spud got all the love because he won a dunk contest.
Yeah, Spud got all the shine.
Was Webster the better actor? Was the Webster actor the better actor?
He was cuter.
Well, if you like little tiny black men. Sure.
I'm going to.
Hey, Mom.
Out.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah. Chris just did this. He just left the table.
Webster. I think Gary Coleman, his cute, he had like a 2-year cute factor.
Yeah, it went away faster. Webster kept rolling. And both of them were in their 30s when they finished the show, I think.
Hey, ma'am.
I liked Webster. I'm just going to tell you now. I don't really blame Gary Coleman
for losing his lack of cuteness. He was surrounded by just some awfulness.
Drug addicts.
Yeah.
Oh, from all the way. Wasn't Conrad Bain, was he not good either? Or
I don't remember him.
Am I just remembering a storyline incorrectly?
He's just fine.
His two older siblings didn't do well.
Now Kimberly's not here. Todd Bridges
is alive, right? Still kicking.
Todd Bridges had his issues.
Celebrity boxing. Todd Bridges. Yes or no?
I think he was in that.
I think you have
he
him.
He was.
Yeah.
Todd Bridges wasn't celebrity.
How about
boxing?
Sam? That'll drive. That probably drove Arnold to drink.
Yeah, they brought another cute one in.
Little his redhead.
Cute, and then it went completely.
With a country accent.
Hey, guys, look at me, little redhead with a bowl cut.
It was awful.
And you know off the screen, Gary Coleman was like, what is this little redneck doing on this show? Racist-ass producers. Dale, you know that it's idiot.
Gary's off.
Why? I got to know.
Cigs.
Gary Coleman, yeah. He's because like, at the time, he's 27. He's like,
BS.
How much longer do I have to do this show to keep up Todd Bridges' crack habit? I'm done. Coming up next, Jeremy Botter. We'll get into some UFC talk right here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:34. It's actually not John Granato and Lance Zierlein. It's Lance Zierlein and Chris Solis. So Jeremy Botter, who joins us right now, who's a senior writer for Bleacher Report and CNN. You still are amongst friends, Jeremy. Jeremy, little interesting story. Jeremy Botter was, when we first started 1560 here, he was part of our house, basically a house band, the Favorites, right, Jeremy? It was the Favorites who played. Yep. Yeah, it was the Favorites,
I remember
right?
That. Yeah.
Remember they played a different. Jeremy, you were a guitar, right?
No, I played guitar, but I was also a lead singer. Of sorts, yeah.
Just
yeah,
as
those
I
were
remember.
The good old days, man.
Yeah, so now, since that time, you have traveled the world covering the fight game and the UFC. You got a break. I don't even know where your big break came, but all of a sudden, before you knew it, I'm seeing you at any UFC event I'm at, and then you had pretty good, you have had pretty good clearance there. I know you're well-respected as a journalist covering MMA. You're going so good that Dana White actually called you out one time because he was mad because you had a scoop, and he tried to act like it wasn't true until the next day when it was true.
Yeah, that's my my life kind of consists of three parts. You know, I had my early days with the band, and then traveling the world, and kind of being close with Dana White, and now the part of my life is where Dana White hates my guts and has blocked me on every form of social media imaginable.
What made him, just before we get to the UFC stuff, what made him so mad again? What was it that you're not really a muckraker, to be honest with you. That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I don't. To be honest, I don't remember the thing that actually made him mad at me to begin with. It just kind of flipped one day years ago. But the thing that I believe you're referring to is when I reported the UFC was being sold to WMEIMG.
Well, that never happened.
You know. Yeah.
And then, oh, wait.
You
know,
what story?
I got some threatening letters that looked like legal letters that actually weren't. And then they said it wasn't true. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, it came out.
Jeremy reported they were going to be sold. Dana White says, not true. Jeremy's a weirdo. Something. Didn't he call you a weirdo or a creep like that?
Yeah, weirdo scumbag.
Yeah, weirdo scumbag. And then 2 weeks later, everything that he reported was absolutely 100% true. And Dana White probably made about $1 billion. So, yep. And the Fertittas were out of it. So, anyway, bring him on right now because there's a really interesting fight going on for MMA fans. And I also want to talk about George St. Pierre in a second. But Holly Holm versus Cyborg. So Rousey versus Holly Holm was a big deal because it was Ronda Rousey. Most people didn't even know Holly Holm very well. People who follow the fight game knew she was a good striker and kickboxer. But Cyborg has carried a pretty heavy rep for quite some time. To me, this is the most interesting headliner that I've seen in a long time with two of the best strikers. I guess the question is, does Chris Cyborg, is she still the same fighter she was? I know she's cruised through the UFC, but she hasn't always looked as dominant, especially when she first came in. How do you see this fight rolling with Cyborg versus Holm? Because Holly's not going to be able to trade punches with her. She's going to have to throw that big left kick.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, with Cyborg, there's really the big question is, I mean, we know that she's dominant, right? Like, I mean, we've seen it for years and years and years. I mean, she ended Gina Carano's fighting career and sent her towards an unfortunate career in acting. But, like, that Gina Carano was probably the biggest, maybe most challenging opponent that Chris Cyborg has ever faced in terms of skill. We've never really seen her face another top-level opponent. And that's honestly, that's not her fault. You know, for the longest time, the UFC didn't have a 145-pound division. And then when they did, I mean, you know, women are not exactly lining up to fight Chris Cyborg. And, God, I can't blame them.
Oh, they have intentionally ducked her in several instances.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take that call. Like, if they were calling me the
no,
fighter, not so,
in that call
you know, and so, but Holly Holm is a different breed of fighter. You know, and as you were talking about with Ronda Rousey, you know, when Holly Holm came into the UFC, she was, I mean, those of us who have watched the fight game, you know, yourself, Lance, you knew that Holly Holm was good. She was a multiple-time world boxing champion, world mm-hmm. kickboxing champion. You know, she started off there in Houston for Legacy Fighting Championships. I'd seen her plenty of times, and I knew she was good. And I knew that, I mean, if Ronda Rousey was going to strike with Holly Holm, there was absolutely no chance she was going to beat Holly Holm. And that's what happened. And the thing with Holly is that she's a counter striker, and so is Cyborg. They both kind of wait for you to make a mistake and then pounce. Cyborg tends to pounce a little bit more ferociously than Holly, but you know, I think this fight is super interesting because while it's easy on the surface to look at it and go, yeah, Cyborg's going to kill her. It's another woman who, you know, is going to be another win on her record. But I don't think you can do that with Holly Holm. She's tough. She's durable. And most of all, she's patient and smart. She's been training with Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn in Albuquerque for, I believe, like 12 years, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So she's been there a long time. And we know that is a very, very smart fight camp. And I think it's an interesting fight for a lot of reasons, but that her training and her patience and, you know, and her ring IQ might be the biggest ones.
This is the thing with, that's the thing with Holly Holm is what she brings to the table. Like, Cyborg will just punish you with a flurry of punches. She's always been that good. Is there another fighter in a female fighter who has one punch, and it's really in this instance, one kick knockout power? Like, she brings something to the table that you see in the men's fight game that you don't usually associate with women's, is that she can end it with one good shot. Like, she's got that ability. That's the one thing with Cyborg, you know, that if she gets caught upstairs with one of those head kicks, it could be a wrap. And Holly Holm is one of the few fighters who can bring that to the table.
Yeah, I mean, the only other comparable female fighter, I believe, would be at 115 pounds. It would be Joanna Jacek, former strawweight champion.
But she also strings them together, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing is, like, they have that ability to punish you with accuracy. You know, with Cyborg, she's accurate, and she's a great striker, but she is just super powerful. And you know, you can look at her and go, yeah, she'd be powerful, but it's not just the muscle. It's a lot of it has to do with the timing of her shots, the patience, and the accuracy.
I can't believe I'm looking at the numbers here. I was reading some of these. The statistics for anyone who's really interested in analytics in basketball or football or baseball or whatever, UFC has been doing this for a little while now. Their data that they utilize, that they capture and they utilize, is really incredible. I mean, and they feature it on their website at UFC.com. You can see, I mean, absorbed punches per minute. They've got takedown, they've got strikes per minute, they've got power strikes per minute thrown and landed. I mean, their statistics are incredible that they're keeping now.
Yeah, they really are. And you know, anybody who's interested in, I'm kind of a data and stats junkie myself. If you're interested in that kind of thing, for the fight game, there's a guy named Reed Kuhn. He's Fightnomics on Twitter.
Right.
He takes that same database that's put together by a company called Fightmetric for the UFC and applies really, really advanced statistical analysis to it, you know, regression and whatnot. And he comes up with some even more interesting looks at that stuff, you know, if you're into that.
Hey, so George St. Pierre comes back after 4 years, beats Michael Bisping, wins the title, and then vacates. Now, Chael Sonnen made a comment that this just shows how unbelievable George St. Pierre at age 36 and with a 4-year layoff, how unbelievable he is. People just kind of forgot about him because he had been gone. But he could miss that much time. He's not as fast. He's not as good with his takedowns. He's all these, and he's still better than a guy who's been doing it nonstop. And I think he makes a pretty good point. Like, forever, Anderson Silva was the guy who captured that title of best pound for pound, when the reality is maybe it was always GSP all along, not to discredit Anderson Silva at all. Now he took off. Dana White, imagine this. I know you're going to have a hard time believing this. Dana's mad at him, and I probably don't blame him. He came in, got a fight, got the money, got out, wants to fight Conor McGregor, and Dana White said, nah, you're not ever fighting him. You've got Woodley waiting for you if you want to come back, because you're not getting a fight. You're not pulling this crap and getting a fight, Conor McGregor. What, do you think we'll see GSP anymore?
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that Dana White came out and said that you're never fighting Conor McGregor means he absolutely is fighting Conor McGregor. I mean, that's
why he blocked you, Jeremy. That's why he blocked you, because of smart alecky stuff like that.
Look, at this point, I just don't care anymore. You know, I mean, like, it's the truth. I mean, like, a lot of us who have covered the sport have seen that for years. Like, Dana, you know, Dana's not exactly a man of his word, is a kind way to put it. But recently, I mean, it's kind of become a running joke among fans. Like, if Dana says something, well, okay, the opposite is going to happen. And, you know, honestly, Lance, I do have a feeling that fight is going to happen, because WME has huge loan repayments to make on this. Purchase that they made of the UFC, and the only way that they're going to make—I mean, you know—they're not going to make that with fights like this weekend. As interesting as it is, they're going to make it with super fights.
I never even thought about that. They've got to make loan repayments, don't they? I never even thought about that factoring in.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge loan repayments. So, and the TV deal that, you know, their deal with Fox is up. Soon they are looking, they're negotiating with companies, including Turner Sports and a few others. But, you know, they were expecting to get $400 million a year on TV rights. And it's looking, you know, from talking to people, that they're probably not even going to get half that. And so they're going to be hurting for money. They're going to need to put together the biggest fight they possibly can.
Interesting. Jeremy, how do you like the Cyborg home fight?
You know, man, it's really hard to pick against Chris Cyborg. If anybody can beat her, it's going to be Holly Holm. It's just, I have to go with history. I have to go with, you know, what we've seen in the past. And up until now, Chris Cyborg hasn't given me any reason to doubt that she'll go in and win.
You can follow Jeremy at Jeremy Botter, BOTTER, at Jeremy Botter. And you can, if you're a UFC fan, and really a fan of a lot of things, you can follow Jeremy and do that. Congratulations on your marriage and your kids as well. Lots gone on since you first were playing at Slapfest. You were playing right there on Slapfest too, when Malik and Aggie Doug were slapping each other right in the face, weren't you?
Yeah, one of the best fights I've ever seen in person.
it was a pretty good one. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, 7:46 here on the bench. When we come back, I want to get into a Dallas Cowboy. I know Dallas Cowboys are not a big topic, but I do want to get into Dez Bryant because this guy is falling all the way off the map, and he's starting to lose his mind with just taking people out. So, and I mean, when I say taking people out, I mean teammates. It's kind of sad to see the Cowboys fall apart like this after just 1 year, isn't it, guys? Really sad.
Is it?
Not that much. You know what is great, though? You know who isn't falling apart, despite what anyone may try to lead you to believe in that other room? Is my Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets. Yeah, they hit a little bit of a spell with our friend Chris Paul out, and actually Clint Capella is going to be out for the next couple of games. But Chris Paul is going to be coming back, and they are playing great basketball over the course of the season. The Rockets have had great success, and they deserve to have multiple All-Stars. Why don't you guys help send James Harden? We already know he's going to end up going. Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and the aforementioned Clint Capella to the All-Star game. Vote daily to help them make the All-Star game. Post your votes in your Facebook status by tagging them with the players first and last name, along with hashtag NBA vote. First and last name, hashtag NBA vote, or you could tweet and retweet daily, James Harden, hashtag NBA vote, or Clint Capella, hashtag NBA vote, and that will count. Vote on the NBA mobile app or on NBA.com. Fans can vote by enabling the NBA All-Star skill on Amazon's Alexa platform and then asking NBA All-Star to vote for their player of choice daily. There's so many ways to vote, and it just takes less than 60 seconds. And you can send people like Clint Capella, who deserves to be an All-Star, along with Eric Gordon. Send those guys along with CP3 and James Harden. Just like the Astros had a bunch, let's send a bunch of Rockets to the All-Star game. For all your voting details, visit Rockets.com and follow the Rockets' official Twitter and Facebook pages.
ESPN 97.5.
7:50 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein along with Chris Solis and Dell. You guys can reach us at Chris Solis, at Lance Zierlein, at Del V2. Is that the second incarnation of your Twitter, Del? Is that why it's version 2?
No. At one point, Freaky Deaky, I mean, John used to comment on how me being a carny.
Yeah.
And then when I got the job over here like 7 years ago, Freaky Deaky said this is version 2 of Del.
Mm.
And that's where it came from.
Oh, because you just jumped on. Yeah, because you just joined Twitter at that time. I got you.
Yeah.
So the Dallas Cowboys have struggled this year, which has been sad for a lot of us to watch those struggles. After last year where Cowboys fans were flying out of the woodwork again, like, Dak, is he an elite quarterback? Is Dak one of the top three? Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? Is Dak better than Ben Roethlisberger? It seems like that's calmed down, Chris. I don't.
Yeah, it has.
I don't hear as much Dak as one of the top five quarterbacks.
It was really just one playoff game, and Aaron Rodgers zipped him down the field, and they blasted like a 55-yard field goal, and Dallas was done.
I mean, Dak had a good rookie season. Sure. I have always felt like after watching the likes of a RG3, the likes of a Jay Cutler, the likes of maybe even Andrew Luck, I like to let it play out a little bit nowadays just to see how guys keep doing after defensive coordinators get a look at you.
So you're all in for Deshaun.
Well, I always have to throw that little caveat out there. What are we doing, Dell? What are you pointing at me
just
for?
Just co-signing that joke by Chris Solis.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah, but that's, I don't trust you on that because that's an ACC thing that I know that you've got ACC bias because
I like Deshaun.
He rolled your conference.
To your
for
point,
years.
You've talked. You just said.
No, I do. I always say. I always tell John. I want to just make sure he does. John's like, there's no chance Deshaun could possibly regress. And I'm just like, I've seen it.
No failure rate.
let's let it play out because coordinators are going to make some changes.
I'm not even worried about that. I'm just worried about two healthy knees.
It's not great that he's had two knee injuries.
No, it's not.
That doesn't make me feel great. I mean, two injuries where you're just running and knees popping.
Yeah. Pocket passer Deshaun is not going to be the same.
Now, pocket passer Deshaun feels like a middling player, frankly. Right. He's got some ability as a pocket passer, But let's face it, being able to get outside of the pocket and either run or throw when things turn into a scramble situation, it's kind of good. Ask Mark Brunell, ask Aaron Rodgers, ask Russell Wilson. You see how I named different color quarterbacks there, Dell? That was all inclusive.
He led off.
You always lead with Mark Brunell.
Steve Young.
I throw you off with Brunell or Young, and then I can hit you with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, because often
Michael Vick.
Often when I talk about the new age of slot receivers, I go Devon Best. That's who I think of. Devon Best was a great slot receiver.
I like that.
Yeah, you do it. You say
Jarvis Landry,
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I don't say Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman or Wes Welker. I go
for balance,
Devon Best.
For balance.
Yeah.
Jamison Crowder.
Even. Yeah. Exactly.
That's a good one. See, there's not, everyone can all play together in this whole, mobile quarterback game.
And when I think
Not everyone.
You
not
don't have to
Tom
be
Savage.
White to be a slot receiver, and is what he's trying to say.
When I think gym rat in basketball, I'm like, Eric Gordon. That's what I don't.
Is that how you?
Yeah.
Because you don't see color.
I don't see color. I see gym rat. Eric Gordon. Mm-hmm.
I think J.J. Redick.
Well, you see color. That's why.
I don't see color.
I see a hardcore rapper when I see J.J. Redick.
You think you're seeing that? Hey, is this Macklemore or J.J. Redick? I don't know. Is this Eminem or J.J. Redick? J.J. can't shoot the piss out of the ball. J.J. doesn't. If you play at Duke, look, the worst thing to happen to Duke. Oh, yeah, we were going to do something on Dez, but this is.
Nah, whatever.
If you play at Duke, like, what's the crybaby's? I can't remember his name now that's there. Mr. Super Crybaby.
Shire? John Shire?
No. The one right now.
Oh,
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, Grayson Allen. Boy, he set Duke back like 3 decades. Duke has fought to get out of the crybaby Christian Laettner.
Full circle.
It is full circle. Everything that you ever thought about Duke feels right again with Grayson Allen.
No, we swear. We had Okafor. We had Justice Winslow. We're about that one and done stuff, too. No, we swear. No.
Grayson Allen stays all 4 years, cries the entire time.
Kicking guys.
Kicks people. Multiple kicking incidents. I mean, it was like, this is a dream come true. New Christian Laettner.
He's super Duke.
He's everything that I've always thought Duke could be again. I always felt like they could get back to their greatness.
And you know what? It's kind of refreshing.
It is. I like being able to dislike them.
I like a bratty little white kid.
Yeah. Just named Grayson. I mean, could it be any better? Then Grayson? I mean, come on. Grayson.
Yeah.
There's no question that kid.
You know, Luke Kennard left early. He's like, I'm not fading. I'm fading this. I'm getting out.
I'm out of here.
I'll go play for the Pistons. I'm not part of the Grayson Allen train. You're not going to hate me like you hate him.
Yeah.
Luke Kennard just shooting jumpers in Detroit. All good.
If you play for Duke, you're going to catch some of that Grayson Allen hate now. That's how it's going to be. But I couldn't believe he was such – and he does crying faces. Like, he is – I can't believe that he has been gifted to us like this.
He's Ted Cruz. He's kind of like...
He looks... When I saw those pictures side to side, I couldn't believe how similar they were. Another crybaby who I did mention is Dez Bryant. Dez is literally lighting his entire team on fire. Coaches, Dak Prescott. Can we check... What did Dez Bryant's stat line look like this year? Because Dez Bryant's not known as a fast receiver. And I'm wondering, either is DeAndre Hopkins, but DeAndre Hopkins just knows how to get open. DeAndre doesn't have to be fast. It feels like Dez Bryant right now is really starting to take a big step back. He's got a huge
guaranteed 12.5 next year.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are asking him to take a pay cut and Dez.
Would you guys cut Dez Bryant? Would you salary cap him? Because Dez doesn't want to take a cut. How many years has Dez been in the league now? How would you guess? How many would you guess?
Six.
8 years. That's
eight.
A long
wow. Yeah.
This is his eighth year in the league.
You see, he's 29, turns 30 next year.
Yeah.
66 catches for 814 yards,
wow,
six TDs.
I did not realize this because Dez has missed some time. Dez Bryant hasn't had 1,000 yards receiving since 2014. He hasn't had – this is his
He's not a wide receiver one.
No, I think I've just been letting him cruise on that reputation because coming into the year, I'm thinking, okay, Dez is, from a fantasy standpoint, I know I had him a little up the charts.
That's all reputation.
He's averaging 12.3 yards a catch. His touchdown totals. I mean, Dez had 3 really good years. He hasn't been good in 3 years. Why in the hell would you pay Dez Bryant $12.5 million? And it's not like he's Andre Johnson, who everyone looks up to and – he's a leader and all that stuff. Dez is a pain in the ass. You know who doesn't get paid guaranteed money? Guys who are pain in the ass who aren't performing well. Those guys get cut.
Is Jerry a guy devoted to a stars who will keep a guy around just because?
You know what? Jerry can go draft. I don't know. I got to think who the top. Maybe Calvin Ridley? I mean, do you really want to put your eggs in that Alabama basket?
Even Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper said, yeah, I quit. I'm done this year. I think I'm just going to shut it down. I don't know. Just go draft a wide receiver. You don't hang on to guys who are pains, especially if they're not. If they perform well, Randy Moss, you can fade a Randy Moss for as long as you can. This guy, Dez, hasn't been 1,000 yards in 3 years.
Diminishing skills.
Yeah, I just don't think he can get open anymore.
Brian Cushing's like, hold on, guys. What are you talking about here? Diminishing skills and holding on to guys. You watch it.
The Texans could have come in 3 years.
And positive.
And team captain.
That's awesome.
I mean, this guy is a Teflon Brian. 7:58 right here on the bench. Coming up next, Adam Kaplan joins us to talk a little NFL.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.